Sorry, folks. Seems that Skype was the culprit this time. All right, I'm going to try and get Skype working back on the other computer again. It's been another one of those bloody. Ah! Anyway, I should be back on by now, I hope. So we're going to try this. We're going to take a little bit of a break. On the way out, though, I figure play a real quick track off of this Putrid Minds anthology. All right. You tell me if that gain improves there, ELO. Blah, 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 blah. All I want to do is a radio show. What's the deal? But anyway, the volume should be clearing up a bit now and getting better. I'm just waiting for responses from my ninjas. Thank you, folks. Be screwed without you. So anyway, we're going to go out of here and we're going to play real quick. The Irrational Anthem. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head on Radio Network.
See?
Whoops. We'll be right back after this.
Innocent people as they flee from our huge Air Force jets that we fly across the sea, and our proud cluster bombs that destroy life and limb for generations to come from the ground that they lay in. This is fall from the air, leaving depleted uranium everywhere. And the cancer that this causes, well, we really just don't care. We'll say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave? Or the land of corporate greed and the home of its slaves.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
It's hour two, getting all foxed up. And now, back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
Nobody knows you. Nobody even knows your name.
Everybody, welcome back to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And the phone gremlins are fucking back! Sorry, I'm getting really, really frustrated with the fact that I consistently cannot have a conversation with you folks. And it's not that you're the problem. I'm really starting to get frustrated by the fact that I can't maintain a phone call, and now Skype's acting up. You know, it's enough to make a guy paranoid. As a friend of mine said once, nothing wrong with being paranoid, it's just a heightened sense of awareness. But, you know, I actually want to take a little bit of a step back, because this whole water thing in the United States is freaky. And I sit there and wonder about, you know, not just in the drinking water, but how much of this contamination ends up just in food products. I mean, you know, every beer you buy has to get its water from somewhere. Oh, David, it's don't even go worrying about buying accessories. We're going to find this thing out, and right now Skype's even useless. I was running it on the streaming machine, and it all seemed good, but then it started backing up the streamer, and now it doesn't want to run on the laptop, which is supposed to be where it runs, but shit, no. You know, and it's really frustrating. You know, it's like the lighting guy whose house is always dark. I can make this rig work for, you know, anybody all over the planet. How many times I've duplicated this rig for non-tech people on the other side of the planet without ever seeing their gear, and it works perfectly. But yet, over at the head engineer's place, where he should be the best set up and all that other kind of crap, I fight all the gremlins. Well, not all of them. Right on, David. You just keep talking there in the chat room. I want my damn phone lines back. Because I want y'all to be able to ring in. I mean, that's supposed to be the whole point of this exercise, is having a conversation. But anyway. You know, I was talking about that it's not just coal companies and whatnot that are, you know, causing huge amounts of damage to the water supply in the United States, but, you know, there are smaller companies that are doing huge amounts of damage, and it's and there's absolutely no oversight for it. This is about page two of this article. After they get through all the stuff about the coal companies, say environmental groups say the number of Clean Water Act violations has increased significantly in the last decade. Comprehensive data go back only 5 years, but show that the number of facilities violating the Clean Water Act grew more than 16% from 2004 to 2007, the most recent year with complete data. But polluters include small companies like gas stations, dry cleaners, shopping malls, and the Friendly Acres Mobile Home Park in LaPorte, Indiana, which acknowledged to regulators that it had dumped human waste into a nearby river for 3 years. They also include large corporations like chemical factories, power plants, sewage treatment centers, and one of the biggest zinc smelters, the Horsehead Corporation of Pennsylvania, which has dumped illegal concentrations of copper, lead, zinc, chlorine, and selenium into the Ohio River. Those chemicals can contribute to mental retardation and cancer. Well, the first one of those things, the mental retardation, I really do think you're seeing the effects of that in West Virginia. And I mean, when you have these coal thugs rock up to peaceful picnics and go screaming bloody murder, and you tell them that the very job that they're doing, by no fault of their own, is impacting their kids' intelligence. And not just their kids, but their own. What is it? Is it all just a knee-jerk reaction? It's like, what, are you calling me stupid? Like, well, not really. You continue acting the way you are, well, yeah. I don't have to call you anything. You're just, you know, stupid is as stupid does. David in the chat room. John, you can't force big business to do the right thing because they own the courts, politicians' land. All we can do is write op-eds in the New York Times. These fools are going to overturn our EPA actions every time to their own detriment. I'm not arguing with you, man. I'm not arguing with you. But I'll tell you the one thing that this article does state is the fact that there's, like, no resources for enforcement. That's... I think the heart of the problem. Well, aside from the fact that, like in West Virginia, you know, the entire state's bought and paid for by the coal companies. But I tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to play a couple tracks here. I'll see if I can get the damn Skype at least to work on the laptop, which will require a reboot. So, if you all bear with me, what I'm going to do on the album here, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but I want to give you enough where you're going to want to go out and get it. Because I think it's fun. They do a radio play here. And the whole thing's probably, not even 10 minutes. But I find this really, really funny. Now, the characters in here, Emperor Norton, Mark Twain, and Stephen Hawking. And I think this is really funny. Lottie just went and got the record. Good on you, man. See, I'm telling you, the first time the record labels ever come after me for not paying to play music, I'm going to be like, yeah, fine. I'll stop selling records for you then. Bugger off. See? I know that this works. But anyway, I'm going to play a radio play in four parts. The four parts are the National Anthem, and then there's Twain, Norton, and the Professor, then the Star-Spangled Boner, and part four is the Emperor and the King. So there's your last character. Elvis. So I hope you enjoy this. I did.
Last gleaming, from such bright and bright stars. You know, Joshua, the principles that this nation was theoretically supposed to stand for seem to be completely ignored by our government's current administration. It's about oil, I tell you. Money and oil. That's why things have gotten so out of hand. It's got nothing to do with liberty, patriotism, or democracy. And our biggest export, outside of all those confounded weapons of mass destruction that we purvey throughout the modern world, is imperialism of the highest order.
Mr. Twain, Professor Hawking, friends, countrymen, I hereby decree that the presidency, the Congress, and this shadow confederacy be abolished, and the authority to squelch these warmongering hawks and put these terrible matters behind us be executed by myself, Emperor Norton I, in joint council with the League of Indian Nations, by which a lasting peace will be maintained here at home and abroad.
Norton, can't you ever participate in a simple conversation
Twain?
Without issuing another decree or proclamation? I know you mean well, but it's only myself and Professor Arthur.
And furthermore, my loyal subjects...
Might I suggest that the complacent and lethargic middle class can only be stimulated into progressive political activism by an iconoclastic rendering of the United States most nationalistic mythological themes and symbols.
Professor Hawking, could you please speak in the vernacular that most Americans could actually understand? And one that I've made such clever usage of throughout my illustrious career as the prime exponent of American literature. Through my novels and socio-political essays and commentary, of course.
Sure, Sammy. Just chill out, kick back, and dig the rhymes on this next track.
Oh, say, can you see innocent people as they flee from our huge Air Force jets that we fly across the sea, and our proud cluster bombs that destroy life and limb for generations to come from the ground that they well, we really just don't care. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of corporate greed and the home of its slaves?
What minstrel show is this that evokes the truest form of American patriotism in their biting but witty form of political satire and comment? Not unlike my own, I might add.
They're an ensemble named in tribute to our most celebrated and eccentric friend here.
Oh, what friend?
No, I
don't know who we're speaking of.
Yes, I
who are the minstrels?
They're known as the Sons of Emperor Norton.
They've named themselves after Joshua here? What is the world coming to?
Good God, Twain. Who is your patent lawyer? I see a very generous monetary settlement in my most immediate future. It's an issue of trademarks, man, and one that might lead to a much steadier income than my current outrageous characterization, and much more consistent with what I was accustomed to before.
Now, don't go there, Joshua. Just leave it in the past. Breathe. Breathe for me. You feeling better? Okay. You know, I'm just glad you're finally speaking directly to us. rather than spewing forth another rambling oratory.
Can I get you gentlemen anything else today?
I hereby request another pint of Anchor Steam, and then bring these two irrepressible bastards whatever the hell they want.
I know what I want, and you want it too. Don't you, baby?
Control yourself, Professor.
Yeah,
this isn't
right.
That kind of place, and she's not that kind of girl. But when I spent time in Nevada, riding for the territory...
Oh, yeah. That's it. Come on. Do it.
Come on, baby.
Oh, man.
Mama. 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 Mama.
I love you guys. Since I lost my brother... You've been my closest male companions.
Man love, it's the only way.
Gosh, it's great to be back in Frisco.
Twain, I've warned you, you pseudo-intellectual cracker-ass blowhard.
Oh, now.
Yerba Buena's good name will never be tainted by your vulgar reactionary comment again. On guard.
Yeah.
Sit down, Norton, or Professor Hawkins will stun you with a jolt from my good friend Nikola Tesla's patented death ray.
I am from the future.
Gentlemen, please. If you cannot calm down, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Come with me to Yosemite. The tent cabins at Curry Village have a rustic charm.
That's it. I've had enough. Mr. Burroughs, can you please escort these gentlemen outside?
Yes, ma'am. Come on, boys. You're going with me.
Who in the hell are you?
Yeah, I'm the king of rock and roll. I'm a special undercover agent for the Drug Enforcement Agency, Inspector John Burroughs.
Well, then, where are your credentials?
Yes, credentials. Well, this here's my badge, and here's my gun, and another gun, and the big flashlight.
Handcuffs. I want handcuffs.
Now, Professor, I wouldn't say anything to him.
Don't say
this
anything.
This is obviously a violation of our civil rights as citizens of the United States. I demand to see a lawyer.
I will represent myself.
Relax, Mr. Twain. Remember the Patriot Act? Listen to that last track on this record just qualified you and your friends here as terrorists. I'm sure you'll get a fair trial. Now, Red, Sonny, escort these men out here.
Okay, boss.
Take care of the professor.
The Beatles wrote their own songs.
Now, you be quiet, or I'll read you an essay by Carl Sagan.
I'll go quietly.
Now, this would not be happening if Ulysses S. Grant were still in office.
Grant!
Maybe even Clinton.
Clinton!
It's a Confederate plot, I tell you.
Yes, it is. I command you as the Emperor of the United States and Protector of Mexico. Look away! Look away! Look away!
I'm sorry, I think that's funny. I love what they did with the speak and spell or whatever to do Hawking. Okay, I'm working on this phone thing. I do not understand what the hell is going on, but I'm gonna try and get this going because I'm really, really the idea of me just sitting here and just yapping for another hour and a half without having a conversation just does not strike me as being fun. So here's another great track off this album, "Old E's Coming Back." Hopefully, we'll have the phones worked out after this.
Could you please come back and help us? Old E's coming down on the railroad track. It's been a long time, but it's coming on back. He just don't like the way things have been. He gonna break it all loose like it did back then. But ain't no colonel gonna get in his way. Old E's coming back and it's here to stay. He's grinding the rims of his pink Cadillac, burning and sparking like a missile attack. But there ain't no pollution from that loving machine, 'cause he gets his power from a source that's clean. He's gonna right the wrongs of the entire earth and redeem the purpose of his long lost birth. He gonna take a little time and make some friends. He gonna make Ralph Nader the new president. He gonna give native people all back their lands and then pay reparations to the African Americans. Oh, he's coming back. The king's coming back. Oh, he's coming back. The king's coming back. There must be some reason that we love him so well. The king's coming back to save us from hell.
It didn't take very long to screw it up so bad. That's why Ole is so doggone mad. He had to come back just to get it straight. That's why we all hardly wait. Red, Sonny, Lardass, and Noam Chomsky, too, are gonna help Ole and fix the world for you. He gonna take all that farmland from that corporate greed, give independent farmers awful natural seed. He gonna take those chemicals and hormones away and make things grow in an organic way. So when your mama eats a burger that's a little too rare, she won't be starting to grow unwanted facial hair. Now, he's got some ideas for getting around. He gonna bring back trains that go from town to town. We won't be using trees for paper because he's legalizing hemp, and no more paying corporate cotton that unwanted rent. Ole's coming back. The king's coming back. Ole's coming back. The king's coming back. There must be some reason that we love him so well. The king's coming back to save us from hell.
Footballs of Dr. Nick, he says Amy Goodman is his favorite chick. Psyllium fiber and quitting bacon makes him real quick. He's a lean, clean, loving machine like 56. Oh, he's coming back. The king's coming back. Oh, he's coming back. The king's coming back. There must be some reason how we love him so well. The king's coming back to save us from hell. It goes like this. The king's come back. Oh, he's come back. The king's come back. Oh, he's coming back. There must be some reason how we love him so well. The king's coming back.
Folks, I think we may be on the way to fixing this damn thing. Arg, arg, arg. Oh, nice noise, John. Oh, that'll be that. Okay. We have phones. They're noisy, but we have, well, not phones. We have Skype. I don't know if I could get any more frustrated at this point. All right, I think we're close. So I'm going to play one more off of this because, well, I need to tidy up a couple of things here. So here is the title track off the... Oh, we have a gene. Hold on. Hey, Gene, how are you?
Hey, boss.
Oh, well, we got Skype working.
Going?
Oh, you know, it's we're here.
Can't hear me, can you?
I can hear you.
Sorry.
You can't hear me.
Okay.
I'm really sorry, folks. This is just shit. All right, I'm going to play another track off of this and see if we can figure it out.
End up in a rut. Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what. Come on, baby, now. the human love of that stinking mutt. I can't use it, trying to make it real compared to what. Love me, baby, nah. The president, he's got his war. Folks don't know just what it's for. Nobody gives us a rhyme or reason. That's the one guy they call the treason. We chicken feathers all without one death. I can't use it. Trying to make it real compared to what. Love me, baby, now. The wrath of God just picking us with fire. They all try to teach us what they think is right. They really got to be some kind of nut. I can't use it. Trying to make it real compared to what. Sock it to me now. Where's my God and where's my money? Unreal values are class distortion. Unwed mothers can't get abortions. Kinda brings to mind old young King Tut. He did it now. Tried to make it real compared to what?
How groovy is that track? Now, still fighting with phones, so I'm actually going to play the title track off the album. I think that's a great one compared to what, but this one, this is hysterical, and if you dig Zappa, I think you'll dig this track. Putrid Minds, or I Think We Stopped the Clock Way Back at Wounded Knee.
So I'll just fall in love. Prozac and my California wine.
Weapons manufacturers control the broadcast network. Billions of dollars are made promoting wars. Freedom of speech goes right on down the toilet.
We'll lose the planet to these corporate pimps and whores.
I love that track. Okay, I'm telling you, I'm determined to get a working phone here today. So I'm going to try something here that our good friend Mr. Lottie has sent to me, and we're going to play that track we play every single show. Bear with us. We're going to find the problem, or we're going to get something working so we can have a conversation. Stick around, folks. As usual, once every show, Michael Ferranti, Spearhead, Stay Human.
Starvation is a creation of the devil, a rebel. I'm bringing food to the people like a widow, bringing flowers to a grave in the middle of the city. Isolation is a riddle. To be surrounded by a million other people, but feel alone like a tree in the desert, dried up like the skin of a lizard, but full of color like the spots of a leopard. Drum and bass pull me in like a shepherd, scratch my itch like a needle on the record, full of life like a man going to Mecca. Sky high like an eagle up soaring. I speak low, but I'm like a lion roaring. Baritone like a Robeson recording. I'm giving thanks for being human every morning, morning, morning. Because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. Tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom, bop, but tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Keep resisting the negativity, we keep it at a distance. Go for backup and I'll give you some assistance. Like a lifesaver deep in the ocean. Stay afloat here upon the funky motion. Rock and roll upon the waves of the season. Hold your breath and you're underwater breathing. To be rhyming without a real reason is to claim but not to practice a religion. If television is the drug of the nation, satellite is immaculate reception. Beaming in, they can look and they can listen. So you see, don't believe in the system. To legalize you will give you your freedom. You want rights, ask them to read them. But every flower got a right to be blooming. Stay human, because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Aha. We saw the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Stay human. You see why 2K and 2 is a moment in time we find that we can open up up a heart that's locked or been broken by the pain of words not spoken, nor shot by guns or still smoking. Cartwrights out on the Ponderosa, or drive by banging Testarossa. We need to hear the words of Dalai Lama, or at least the words of your mama. Take a mental trip to the Bahamas. Steam your body in the stereo, sauna, sauna, comma. Because the streets are alive with the sound of boom, bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom, bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom, bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom, bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom, bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom, bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom, bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom, bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Ha, 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 ha. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Stay human.
All right, still working on setting this damn thing up, so let's find some more music. Really, one day I'm going to really love being able to take phone calls on a regular basis. I'm being very unprofessional here, but I'm really getting the shits with this. If I find out it has anything to do with the Australian firewall, I'm going to be down in Canberra fucking screaming bloody murder in person. Unbelievably frustrating this whole thing's been. I can kind of forego that Skype has problems. That's a free service, but not the one we're paying for. All the advice coming down my way in the chat room, don't waste your time, please. It's one of those things, the help is nice, but when you have about 5% of the information of what's going on, throwing things out just gets a bit crazy. I do appreciate that. Now, I've supposedly set up my IINet number in this thing. So, however, I have no, I think it's a bit much to try and do while live on air. I tell you. Love to know what the deal is. Love to know what the deal is. All right, let's find some music while I try and figure this out. Because, yes, I've got a cold. I really wanted to be on air. I wanted to have a conversation with y'all. But then, I don't know, someone doesn't want me to have a conversation with y'all. Like I said, could make a man paranoid. Someone asking if I want to move back to the United States. Sorry. Not until you do something about that nut job 30%. I don't think I could cope with it. I think I'd be telling way too much truth and I'd either end up dead or just missing. But that's me. Anyway. What to play? Oh, let's go here. Right. This will work. I've been getting my, you know, ever since I've been with my partner Gail, I've been getting a reggae education. I gotta say, one of the acts that I'm really falling in love with is Steel Pulse, and I'm in particularly loving this Live in Paris album from '92. It's just really good. And so I'm gonna try a couple more things to see if I can get the phones working. But for the moment, enjoy a bit of Rastafari Centennial Live in Paris. Steel Pulse.
And now, from Handsworth, Birmingham, put your hands together, raise your voices to the air, and bring on Steel Pulse!
Straight up,
tell you, I gotta say, I love the chat room. Just seems to be getting off on this. I dig it too. So, I tell you what, just done something fairly extreme. I don't know, I think I'm having some sound card confusion or something over here, which is totally unrelated to the regular phone problems and all that other stuff. I'm just having a chat with Mr. Ben Birch about it and explaining the problems. He's like, oh, that's weird. I'm going, yeah, it's been weird for months. But what I'd like to do is I'm going to get our good friend Gene. We'll try with Sparky Dunk. Hey, Mr. Sparky Dunk, can you hear me? Mr. Sparky Dunk. Here we go. It all just craps itself. It's very, very strange. And I test everything, and it says it's working, and then I can't hear when you actually make a call. Seriously making me... Then I will try Gene. Hey, Gene.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, I got you. Okay. I couldn't hear Sparky, but I can hear you.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. I went and stripped out sound cards and stuff while I was playing music and found adapters to hook up in the most bizarre way to the laptop. And so we've got something here. That's an improvement. Okay.
That's good.
You got anything to bring aside from just ringing in to see if my phones work, Gene?
Yeah, I actually do.
Good.
Yesterday, I went out to it's called Cool Congregations, and it's put on by this group. It's, I guess they've got cats, depends, we called this was the we had this speaker from Iowa, IAPL, or Interfaith Power and Light .org.
Okay.
And the nice thing about this was that at least now they're actually, most of them anyway, still are finally catching on to global warming. You still there?
Yeah. Sorry, I was getting rid of a noise that I had coming from you, but I got rid of it. Please, continue.
So you know, I went down there because it started like at 1, but I got up at like 6:30, and I it took me quite a while. Public transit is great, which by the way, I figured out my car, figured out your carbon footprint, and I am under my yearly allotment for the kilometer. Yay!
Woohoo!
So I'm for public transit and low energy lighting or something like that. But the thing that got me though, this really made me mad, and I've got to track it down, and I've got to, because people tell me, are you sure about that statistic? But I made her repeat this. According to the speaker, if we did nothing but use conservation techniques, nothing about renewable energy, just conservation techniques, we could lower our carbon emissions down to 1970 levels.
That doesn't surprise me at all. But we're just we become a world of energy whores. We need I understand that mathematically that works, but what do you think are the chances, Gene, of actually getting conservation to that level?
See, that's what made me mad, because I remember that even the Europeans were saying, well, by 2050 it'd be 1990 levels. Or was that the US? I don't know. But, you know, we can shoot 20 years below that, and this kind of vaguely ties in, I think. I don't really know. It looks like that the water contamination problem that is happening in the United States, if we cut our emissions by that amount down to 1970 levels when all the EPA regulations were in effect, maybe the water quality would go back because we wouldn't be burning so much coal.
Well, I mean that would be a huge help, but it just seems though that, you know, going back to this piece at the New York Times, the fact that, you know, we put regulations in place, but there's been no oversight, so it's as though the regulations don't even exist, really.
I agree, but what I'm saying is this movement is supposed to be going through the churches, and they're trying to get their congregations to, not just the congregation, but the individual people to actually start cutting down on you know, saving energy and that kind of thing. And it's funny because, again, the lady was from Iowa, and she didn't know herself, but the general drift of it, I think, what I could tell. I think other than that fact about 1970s levels, most of the other stuff I've heard before, so I already knew.
Yeah.
And frankly, after dealing with this for so long, I get a little pessimistic. And I get the idea that they are still in, I think they've just started to the point where they haven't gotten into the dark stuff yet. But it's good to know that they're doing something. I just, you know, it's sort of like, you know, we've been screaming at him for 30 years, shut it down, and you're just like, oh well, there's no such thing. And of course, after the seminar, it went from like 1:30 to 4:30, so it's a pretty long seminar. I got a chance to talk to her before I walked home, and or hit the bus. And basically, she said that she still had some people that didn't buy it. So I said, "Well, try to push the peak oil angle, because you know, it's funny because conservatives will actually get that. They won't get environmental or climate change, but they'll get peak oil."
Yeah, I can see that. You know, and that's one of those things of that's all like supply and demand kind of stuff,
and I
understand, you know, try and take any tact that will get them to see a bit of daylight, but you know. I have to admit, man, I'm kind of with you that I'm beginning to become more and more pessimistic. It doesn't change, you know, what I will try to do, you know, to make things different.
Yeah.
But I'm really, you know, I get more and more frustrated because I continue to see more and more people that, you know, the disease of willful ignorance, that as long as you deny what's going on and, like, belittle it and make fun of it, it doesn't exist.
Shoot, John, I wish we had had this conversation before I would have went to that seminar, because it's like, well, if it's a church-sponsored thing, because there were different churches throughout the Portland area that sent people. There was, I even met some lady from Hawaii that had, her and her husband are up here on sabbatical, and they just happened to hear about this and pop in, and it was kind of cool. But I wish I had this conversation with you before I went, because I would have reminded that old verse: "There are none so blind as those who will not see."
Yeah,
and man, I wish I'd remembered that, because I would have just I'd used that.
It kind of boggles the mind, you know, that we can see, you know, so clearly that things are accelerating. I mean, you know, we've already had, you know, our first bushfires of the season, and it's not officially spring yet. And thankfully, down on the South Coast, the fire service was actually able to get in, and there was a bushfire, but 30 meters from a whole bunch of homes, and they were able to actually fight it back and extinguish it. Yeah. And this is on a weekend that they were doing their first major backburns and whatnot for the year. Because when Gail and I were at this floral festival thing over the weekend, where we're like, oh, wow, it's hazy, it's smoking. You look over across the water, and sure enough, you could see the controlled burns going on. And it's, you know, Australia, between the dual factors of the drought that's never ended and the bushfires that are an effect of the drought, this country has, you know, awakened to the reality. It's all around them, you know. And yeah. I'm wondering what it's going to take for that switch to get flipped in the United States. Because, as you know, Copenhagen's not but 100 days away.
Oh, really? I'd forgotten about Copenhagen.
Yeah. So Copenhagen's got, you know, about to happen. We finally actually have an administration in that will go to these things and become part of, you know, the global drive to try and deal with the issue. And I've said before that I've been frustrated with Rudd that, you know, he's got this emissions trading scheme bill and whatnot that basically only has a 5% reduction target by 2012. And that's just appallingly just wimp-ass. It's like, why even bother? However, the one thing that they have said is, yeah, we're doing this, but when Copenhagen comes up, if the United States and China and a few other major nations, you know, get together and go for higher reduction levels, you know, 25, 30, 50%, they'll change it kind of in a heartbeat. So it's not set in stone that, you know, they're not going to try and improve things, you know, until 2020. This idea that, you know, maybe finally with the United States at the table, we'll start getting somewhere. And a study just came out that rated nations on their ability to continue to be sorry, I just watching something in the chat room, of course, and getting sidetracked.
Hey, that's okay. I wish I could be there, but survey issues.
Yeah. But because actually, what I was seeing here is Sparky saying controlled burns been doing that for years in California. We've been doing that for years here as well, Sparky. It happened to be on the day of the kind of first announced. You know, we're letting everybody know that we're doing some large form controlled burnings, you know, around the area and to give people with, you know, asthma problems some warning about all of that, because it was going to get fairly smoky. And it did.
As I understand, the West Coast here is, we're due to be next for the big dry. So that's probably going to, although on the West Coast, I think a lot more people get it, although maybe not all, but still. But I don't see, there was a person at that meeting that basically said, he was down in Mexico a few years back, and what changed his mind is I guess Mexico had a garbage strike, and down in Mexico, they don't put things in plastic bags. It just piles up. And so with the garbage strike going, you could see all the trash, and he said most of them were American labels.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, maybe that's what it has to take. We have to be confronted with this stuff. And before we'll do anything, I mean,
I found where I was, Gene. The study that was just released, I saw it being discussed on the telly this morning, was basically rating all the developed nations on who was best situated right now to do well in a low-carbon economy. And Australia didn't rate all that well.
Okay.
And, well, but see, that doesn't surprise me because, like Saudi Arabia, like some other nations, our export economy is so based on mining and coal that until we don't depend on things like coal for so much of our export income, you know, we're you know, in the big tally sheet, not looking real good. But I don't think that changes the fact that people want something to be done, even though I am firmly of the belief once you get serious about the green economy, the jobs will come once you actually make the investment. And I mean, that's been shown time and time again. And I can't remember who it was in the chat room, but somebody sent a video earlier, and it was called Did You Know or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about how, and one of the factoids was a certain large percentage of the top paying jobs today didn't exist in 2004.
Mm.
Right? So if you think about that you know, a low carbon economy, it's going to take some investment, but we're going to create a whole bunch of new jobs. You know, whether whether it's wind turbines, solar geothermal, all these things that we've talked about. And it was Sparky Dunk again that sent that in. He's a great
yeah,
source for stuff.
Sounds great.
Pardon me.
That's okay.
It's damn cold.
I'm glad that y'all can deal with it, because it's driving me crazy.
Sucrats.
But hey, man. Sorry, go ahead.
Sucrats requires something or something. Which I've heard is great if you're on herpes. Not saying that you do, but I... Sorry.
I'm just working on my peppermint tea and my local honey here, man.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
It's all right. But anyway, man, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks for ringing in, and we've got some communication happening. I'm going to take my top of the hour break a little bit late here, and maybe we'll get some other phone calls in from some other folks, and maybe Sparky might be able to figure out why I couldn't hear him and I could hear you. I'm hoping it might be something on his end, and he's gone. Ah, I see.
All right, well, I will let you go. Hello, everybody. I wish I could be in the chat room with the rest of you, but I've got some funky little issue that I gotta find.
Oh, do you? You still having Java problems with the chat?
Something, I think it's an error encountered connecting to servers. I think somehow it times out, and I don't know what it is that's doing this. And I'm hoping it's not that quick to flash program that I installed. I don't know. Anyway, enough talking shop. Have fun, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Take care. Thanks so much, buddy.
Bye-bye.
And that was our good buddy Gene, the original News Ninja. So I'm going to take a little break here, and when we come back, we'll try and take some more phone calls and, might try getting Sparky on the line again, because I really do dig talking to him. And so with that, we're going to take an itty-bitty little break here, and I will go out this way. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
A bit of Van Halen.
All right, you sinners, swing!
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
We should be able to deliver bottled hot water to dehydrated babies.
What the hell is that shit?
Two down, one to go. It's your third hour of All Foxed Up with John Fox. You can reach the show at 877-443-2366. Let's get back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And, you know, I haven't played anything off of that Fair Warning album in a while, and I think that is my favorite Van Halen record of all time, and it was probably the least selling one. Why does that not surprise me, that the one that I like the best is the one that people got the least? But anyway, I want to play something, because this was their not-quite-so-party record. Started getting a little dark on this album. It's 1981. Reagan in office, maybe? I don't know. I mean, from the band that became synonymous with 80s excess, and I sometimes am really sad about what happened and what a circus the band ended up becoming after all these years, but I've always liked this record because, and as Tim says, it was their last awesome album. And I can agree with you there on a level. See, I think that there were three different bands, and for me, this was the best Roth era album. I don't think it only had one hit, which was Unchained. But, you know, the thing that you got dealing with a little bit more of, I don't know, actual subject matter and not just, you know, Dave being Dave. Yep, Tim knows where I'm going. Tim knows exactly where I'm going. And the opening track on this album I've always loved. And the guitar bit at the intro, rumor has it, it's played with a pencil. You see Eddie play this thing live, and he kind of uses his hand to slap the two outer strings and to make this bizarre noise. But supposedly it was a pencil between his fingers. Probably the reason why it bugs me what a circus the band became is because, I'm sorry, one of the greatest rock and roll rhythm sections ever, Alex Van Halen and Michael Anthony. As a bass player, who the hell would want to have to back up Eddie Van Halen, who's like all over the place? And Eddie, who understands second nature, the physics of the guitar, better than virtually anyone. It's like an extension of his body, in a way. And there have been others like him, but I don't know, just when it comes to just completely, just going for broke, stuff like this, it just blows me away. But the opening track off of Fair Warning, this is Mean Street. Probably one of the most dark songs they ever wrote. Off of Fair Warning, 1981.
Somebody down. What?
Tim asks me, you know, after I make the statement about just, I always loved Eddie for the fact that it was just this go for broke thing. And he says, you know, not Jimi Hendrix or Alex Lifeson. Well, you know, I mean, I can't just isolate someone as being the greatest to the, you know, overall everything. But in my opinion, Eddie picked up from where Jimmy left off. Right? As far as that just absolutely going for broke, it could all fall apart in a moment's notice. But the guitar is an instrument of physics. And there have been a few people, Eddie Van Halen being one, Michael Hedges being another. Who understand not just how to play a lot of notes or knowing the musical theory or the technique, but there's this understanding where you can get all the odd sounds and move it around and just kind of be able to there's a spatial relationship that you can see with certain players when they look at the instrument. They look at it in a different way than I do. And I think it strips away all their... McLaughlin, now there's a good example of that, Tim. See, there's a guy that looks at the instrument in that same limitless way, you know? And I agree with you, you know, I feel bad for Eddie with the tongue cancer and the divorce and all that kind of thing. And, you know, there's a lot of kerfuffle about the fact that when they went out and toured with David that, you know, his kid was playing bass. And I actually have an opinion. My mate Scott and I have an opinion on that. I think Eddie's not long for this world. And I think he wanted to go out and tour with his kid once. And I can handle that. Because, you know, Michael Anthony's pretty much said, look, I'm not happy about it, but I'm not going to talk about it. And, you know, I got to give him credit for being a gentleman on that one. And, excess is excess is excess, you know. And you know what's interesting? I got to give credit where credit's due. You know, David Lee Roth, for being as over the top and everything as he was always a fit guy. And, you know, his career kind of went to the wayside for a little while. And when I saw footage of the rehearsals for that Van Halen tour last year, the boy looked good. The boy was fit. Still acts like he's 12. But he's fit. Looked healthy. Looked better than, you know, much better than Ed. Ed looks like crap. You know, looks like crap, but anyway. I think my throat's starting to give out. So, we're going to play music. Because that's what John feels like doing right now. You know what? I really got to get more of my Van Halen into the master drive. It's just not all here. I could frustrate everyone and play something off of the last album. Because that one really just didn't go over well, even though I thought it was pretty good. But I guess I look at my criteria might be slightly different. Let's see if we can get this to work this time. Hold on there, Sparky. Hold on, Sparky.
I'm holding.
All right, I think I got you cleaned up. I think you're there. How you going, man?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. Hey, mate.
I thought you wanted to talk to somebody.
I do, man. And I'm sorry I had to hang up on you, but I couldn't hear you. I don't know why, but I can hear you now. So what can I do for you, my friend?
I don't know what goes on with this Skype thing. Once in a while, the mic works. Once in a while, it doesn't.
Yeah, well.
But I just wanted to have fun with the Emperor Norton thing.
Isn't that great?
I mean, he was such a colorful character. I mean, when I told you earlier in the chat, you woke my brain up to my California history.
I had forgotten about him until I got this record, and it was one of those, you know, I see the CD and I'm going, Emperor Norton, why does that sound familiar?
I heard about him when I got out of the Air Force and went back to college and I took California history, and I studied all about the Gold Rush, and I'd lived all these places growing up because my dad and I, we did gold mining. We did suction dredge gold mining in all these rivers all over California.
Right.
Well, I heard all the stories, and then I got involved with the Clampers. Have you ever heard about the Clampers?
Oh, yeah, I remember them. Refresh my memory. What the hell were they about?
EVC, E. Clampus Vitus. They're an organization that celebrates the California Gold Rush.
Oh, okay.
And they go around, they dedicate all these monuments all around the gold country. And they're a group, I mean, they're a bunch of drunks, really. You have to go through an initiation ceremony that nobody would want to go through. Anyway, they celebrate all the things. Have you ever, when you lived in California, did you ever tour the gold country out of Grass Valley in Nevada City area?
No, I didn't get a chance to. However, did get stuck in Quartzsite, Arizona for 2 weeks with a blown motor, which is, I think, a similar situation.
Not during the big.
Oh no, maybe not. Maybe not then.
They have a big gem show there every year.
Yeah.
But you didn't get there then. But anyway, there's just so much California history. I mean, here in out of Ready, we have this town called Old Shasta. And have you ever heard of Black Bart, the infamous stagecoach robber?
Yes, yes, yes.
He was quite the character in this area because we had so much gold mining going on in this area too. That he was. He's one of the main characters when you go into the Old Shasta Museum, which is a ghost town that's right, oh, it's about 5 miles out of Redding before you get to Whiskeytown Lake.
Right.
You've heard of Whiskeytown Lake?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Well, it's right before you get to Whiskeytown Lake, and that was called the Queen City of Shasta County. That was where, when the gold rush first started, that was where everybody was because the miners were all throughout the hills. And I'm working on this Iron Mountain Mine project is just down the road and around the mountain a little ways.
Right.
After the gold run out, they discovered the copper, and that's when the copper mine started. And then that's when all the... For years and years, they mined the copper and they polluted the hills. And now we're trying to clean up the residue from this one damn copper mine that was out of service in the 50s. And we're before all the shit that's laying in downstream from this Spring Creek Reservoir where they tried to contain it. But there's all these residue areas below it, and they're going to dredge them, suck them up, and pump them to the treatment station that I'm working on, site one, and then they treat it there. They run it through the process, and then they pump it up to site two, and then they pump it up to site three, and they pump it up, up to this big hole in the ground where they're going to treat it again with some more stuff, and then they just put all this residue in this hole. And once they get it filled up, they're going to cover it up, and
so
hopefully you'll be gone.
Yeah. So this thing that you're working on. So is this basically like a soil reclamation project where they're taking they're dredging out the contaminated soil and what?
No, it's sediments in the watershed that flows into the Sacramento River.
Right. So
right.
So the company who's supplying the treatment facilities, this wouldn't happen to be Thies, would it?
No, it's all funded through the EPA. It's a recovery project.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but like where I was living in Rhodes, where all the old Agent Orange was produced and whatnot, and they were having a massive soil reclamation project there. It was being paid by the state and federal government, but the company that actually built the reclamation plant, basically the oven that they cook the soil into, you know, in, mm-hmm. was designed and built by a company called Thies. Because they're one of the few companies that knows how to actually do this kind of stuff in any shape or form. So I was wondering, like, do you know anything about how they're actually removing the ugly stuff, or is it just a matter of actually just moving it somewhere where it's not in the water table?
Well, I can post a link to the chat room or somewhere.
As
far as I know, I'm still learning as I'm going.
Okay. I'm
still learning. I'm in the process of wiring up these control panels at three sites in the polymer site.
Right.
They're injecting. They have a lime injection site at the base of everything, where the sludge is in the river, not in the river, but it's in the flow that comes off this Spring Creek diversion dam before it goes in the Sacramento River.
Right.
It's been flowing in the Sacramento River for 50 plus years.
Right.
And they've had to control the flows of the river to kind of dilute it And so now the sediment that is stuck in the flow that goes into the river past this Spring Creek powerhouse that was built as part of the Central Valley Project. You know, it's kind of like TVA.
Right.
It was started, you know, when they built Shasta Dam, and then after that they built Whiskeytown Dam, they built Trinity Dam, and Trinity Dam, Whiskeytown Dam, and Spring Creek and Keswick Dam. They send the water through a series of tubes through the mountains, and they generate power from it four times before it ends up in the Sacramento River and heads to the San Francisco Bay. So when it got down to here, the Spring Creek debris dam had collected all the runoff from the Iron Mountain mines, copper mine, for all these years. And the water, I saw it back in the 70s, and it was rust red. It was the junkiest red color you ever want to see. It stained all the rocks. I mean, it's down, it's low. I drive out past where the lake used to be now, on a daily basis, going to the pump stations we're working on. But the rocks on the backside of the dam are just stained this, I mean, dark, dark red color like bricks.
Yeah.
And then you just see the sludge laying there in the water. They've got it down so far, but they have sludge fields down below the dam before it goes into the Sacramento River. It's what they want to clean up. And it's got all the toxic pollutions, pollutants, mercury, sulfuric acid, stuff.
All your heavy metals, they're all there.
Everything's there.
I'll be curious to see if, as this series from the New York Times on the water supply continues, whether or not they actually cover the cleanup that you're working on, or what actually, you know, led to the need for the cleanup. Because, I mean, this sounds just like one of the many things all over the country, and not just in the United States, but unfortunately, really, you know, there's more of it probably per capita in the United States than anywhere else, which is just this, just, you know.
But you know what it's about, John, is the fish.
It's about
the fish.
Oh, well, I mean, is that what you think is the only justification for doing the cleanup, or that's the most important, or that is the most important issue?
Well, it's what they've been following for all these years.
Right.
Is the fish runs coming back into the Sacramento River. Back in the mid 1990s, they put a temperature curtain on Shasta Dam and cost $80 billion.
Jeez.
Try and get colder water through the turbines on Shasta Dam so they could improve the natural fish return to the Sacramento River. You know, the
right.
Scientists have been checking this stuff out for years. I mean, it's all up and down the West Coast. It's not just here in California. It's Oregon, Washington. The salmon runs are depleting.
Right.
And because the ocean, some people think it's because out in the ocean there's something that's dying and it's killing them off and they're not coming back. But we've got hatcheries, we've got everything. But they put this temperature control curtain on Shasta, and at the same time they put one on Whiskey to get the coal water going down the river, because they were afraid that the warmer, when it was warmer water, it had to be like 54 degrees for the fish to spawn right here in the city of Redding and their native salmon spawning areas. And plus, when they built Shasta Dam, they cut off the habitat for the native salmon, the ancient salmon spawning grounds when they built the dam.
Right.
This happens everywhere. It's happened up in Washington or Oregon, everywhere they built hydroelectric power. But it didn't affect the fish for years and years. But now, it was last year, I think, that Arnold declared, and it was all up and down the West Coast, they declared the salmon's moratorium. He couldn't fish for salmon, and it hurt a lot of fishermen, you know, ocean fishermen.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't touch the runs that were coming back into the rivers because they were so down. I mean, it's all global warming. Nobody's sounds the alarm. You know.
Well, you know, the global warming is part of it, but I mean, we've been overfishing in lots of areas of the world for decades, and you know, I think that even before the global warming started kicking in, just mindless overfishing has created a major problem. I mean, it's probably one of our biggest international issues here, is that we constantly have, like, Indonesian and whatnot fishermen come into Australian protected waters and go and fish for stuff that we have, you know, pretty strict quotas on, you know, because populations are decreasing and trying to actually get the populations up so that 10 years from now there are still fish for these people to actually go and fish for.
Mm.
You know, and
it's the same thing here.
Yeah.
On the west coast of the United States. Everybody's protecting their fisheries.
No, I mean, it's a massive food source. I mean, the oceans are so screwed up at the moment.
I wanted to ask you, did you see the article about the two German ships that traversed the North Passage by Russia with the help of Russian icebreakers?
No. Did you send this to me?
No, I didn't send it to you.
Oh, okay.
It's been on the web. Just recently, they made they call it the Northeast Passage.
Yeah.
They left Korea, and they went around Russia, and they met up with some icebreakers, and they went clear around Russia because of the ice melt.
Yeah.
They hardly ever had to use the icebreakers, according to the story I read. And these two German ships made it all the way from South Korea back to Germany. I mean, around, you know, and saved thousands of dollars on their trip. And the Russians are probably thinking, well, this is going to be a great way to make money, you know, because they're going to have to clear the path and charge the toll on it. Now global warming's happening.
Well,
it's their water.
It's, you know, I mean, 30 years ago, you know, would you have ever thought that that would have been possible?
No.
I mean, is our field of view of history become so short that the average person can't kind of get it around their head that it's all changed dramatically in a really short period of time? You know, or is our soundbite mentality made it impossible for this huge part of the population to just not even see what's been happening right in front of their own eyes? Because I think it doesn't matter where you live in the world, if you honestly look around, you'll be able to see the effects of, you know, our manipulated, which is, that's what it is. It's been manipulated, not in a controlled way. It's just been manipulated. And things that I was taught in school when I was a kid that shouldn't be possible is now possible. Things like, you know, the Northwest Passage. That's insane. That used to be ice locked, you know, 12 months a year pretty much.
Well, you watched that video I posted earlier about, did you know?
Yeah. Oh, I watched that. That's fantastic. And I think
I sent that to Freckles, to Cassie.
Yeah, yeah. That...
You have got a mission. You can never stop learning.
Absolutely.
You have to learn exponentially 10 times faster than we did. As my age, I try to keep up with, I'll be 58 years old next month, and I try to keep up on all this shit and try to understand it. But these kids that are just coming out of high school, I mean, their world is going to change faster and faster and faster, because if you notice in there, India has more
honor students than America has students.
Yes.
You know, they're
going to be controlling the world.
The other part of that that video where they talked about that, you know, all these high paying jobs that exist now didn't exist in 2004. Right? So, you know, this again falls into that idea that where people say, oh, you know, we can't go to a low carbon economy. There's all these jobs we're going to lose. Yeah, 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 but you're going to create even more. This has always been the case. And, you know, if you're going to keep yourself chained to old, dirty technologies that only worry about, like, especially when it comes to oil, gas, and coal, they just find cheaper and cheaper ways to get at it so that they can make it cheaper and cheaper to burn and employ fewer and fewer people. You know, if West Virginia, you know, just made some sort of a mandate saying, no more coal-fired power plants, we're going to start doing wind farms, we're going to start doing this, and we're going to start doing that, I would almost guarantee you that in a decade, the green economy will have created 100 times more jobs than the dirty economy had lost in the same time.
Well, you know, California has no coal-fired power plants anymore.
Got some nuclear going, though, don't you?
We got one I know of.
Yeah, it's not too bad, though. I mean, California does pretty well.
We got some bigger, big-ass solar plants coming.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, you know, still one of my favorite drives in the United States is Interstate 10. As you come into the California desert and you suddenly are just, you know, it's as far as the eye can see windmills. And it still is one of the most surreal sights I've ever experienced. I don't know, there's just something very otherworldly about driving through that part of the country, especially when you see, you know, that first ridge off in the distance of all those turbines, and you're just like going, that, and I always just thought that was amazing. And that was a long-term investment. It wasn't something that happened overnight, but they created a hell of a lot of jobs out of it. I don't think that there can be any argument with that.
Did you read the other day that China's going to outdo Australia now with the largest solar power field in the world?
Yep. And that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, you know, Australia's only a country of like 25 million people, man. You know, and I think we box way above our weight class on a lot of things. You know, there's been a whole lot more medical advancements coming out of Australia than the United States in the last 20 years. There's been a lot more development in a lot of things. And I'm sometimes really amazed at, you know, you look at film, at music. You know, if you want to go by size of population, Australia, you know, shoots pretty high. And I think that's, you know, that I think that there's a few different reasons for that.
Education system.
Might be one. However, you know, no education system's perfect.
But if you emphasize math, science, and learning some
stuff
that counts.
Yeah, and we have a huge actually education industry here. You know, we get a lot of Indian students, especially Indian students who come here to get degrees. It's a multi-billion-dollar-a-year import market for Australia. And unfortunately, it got a bit shaken up because there was some, unfortunately, targeted violence against young Indian men in Victoria. And it ended up having a whole bunch of people saying, we're going to pick up our, you know, dollies and go home. This isn't worth it. But I unfortunately think that was just an anomaly, and that should, you know, I don't think that that's the norm, but it did get fairly ugly here. But, you know, suddenly, like, one of the major import incomes that this country has was just like, holy crap, you know, we could lose all of this. But I think that's saying something that, you know, where you have that little thing where, they, you know, there's more honors students in India than there are students in America. If that's the case and they think Australian universities are good enough to come and study in, it's got to be saying something. But, Sparky,
they want to live in your country because...
That's been the big problem, is that there's been dodgy education agents who have said that if you get your degree, you'll get citizenship, and that's not true. No one in the government actually ever said that that was the case, but you have some dodgy private businesses that deal in setting up, you know, classes and travel and whatnot for people.
I just want to say one thing. It's more fun to live in our countries than to live in theirs. Remember, they're overpopulated.
We're all overpopulated. Australia might be one of the only places that isn't. However, we're kind of like squished in this, like, little border around this huge island nation. You do have a point there. Hey, man, I'm just about out of time, man.
You gotta go.
Always good to talk to you, my friend. Always good to talk to you. You're fantastic, man, and I appreciate everything you bring to the show.
Great.
All right, man.
Stay green, man.
I will, man. And I love the work that you're able that you're doing at the moment. I think it's a great thing to be able to get a gig and do some cleaning up as opposed to doing some damage. You take care, my friend. We'll probably talk to you next week.
Take care.
All right, man. Take care. That was our good mate Sparky Dunk up there in Redding, California, a bit north of where I used to live. And wow, we're really coming up on it here. But hey, we made it. We even had some phone calls. Holy crap. Will miracles never cease? Here we go. So with that, we're going to wrap it up, folks. Thanks for being here. Thanks to Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for the streaming and the archives, because without him we couldn't do any of this. Boy, that's loud. Thanks to Gene, the News Ninja, news producer for this program, for everything he does. Check out the blog post today. There's a post from Betsy on there. There's a link from Betsy. Check it out. I didn't get to it today. And with that, thanks to the mods, everybody. Be good, be green. We'll see you next week.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. I shoved my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, upstanding young man, I think you do. So I took off my hat and said, imagine that, cut me, working for you. Oh, sign, sign, everywhere a sign, blocking at the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read? On sight. So I jumped on the fence and yelled at the house, hey, what gives you the right? Put up a fence to keep me out, or to keep Mother Nature in. If God was